Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. This is Tammy Sims, trainer for the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. In this final episode of our Blueprint series, we're going to wrap it up by talking about utilizing the resources available to you to leverage your success. Our guest, Jamie Huggins, is a veteran in helping real estate companies and agents grow and achieve success, so he's definitely a great fit for this topic. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Real Marketing, the only marketing firm recommended exclusively by the Institute. Real Marketing utilizes over 25 years of expertise, and their products are built and customized for you to dominate any neighborhood, anywhere. Go to realmarketingforyou.com. That's realmarketing, the number four, you.com. Also, look for past A State of Mind episodes with CEO David Collins as our guest. Now, today we're going to focus on step seven in the Institute's Luxury Marketing Blueprint, using your member resources to leverage your success. Joining us today is Jamie Huggins, who's a partner and broker and the director of career advancement for ERA Davis & Lynn and ERA Kings Bay in Jacksonville and St. Augustine, serving Northeast Florida. Jamie has a history of building real estate offices and companies through recruiting and developing real estate sales associates in residential and commercial sales. Originally licensed in Kentucky in 1997, his career has taken him through the Florida Panhandle, then to Atlanta, Georgia, and finally back to Jacksonville. He's been responsible for growing offices and opening new ones, overseeing operations and career advancement for several brokerages with great success. He also continued to pursue his own dream of becoming a coach and mentor for real estate professionals by opening his own consulting firm, X Factor Coaching and Consulting. Currently, he coaches and mentors over 100 agents, while also partnering in the title business with Calford Title Services, the property management business with Patriots Property Management Services, and Kings Bay Rentals, and continues to coach and consult nationally. Jamie's passion is building real estate businesses and helping real estate professionals meet and exceed their goals in life and business. Jamie is a United States Army veteran with over 34 years of service. He was deployed multiple times and retired in 2020 as a full colonel. Thank you, Jamie, for your service. And just for fun, he referees high school and college basketball in and around Jacksonville. Jamie, welcome to the podcast. We're delighted to have you.
Thank you. So good to see you, Tammy, and great to be part of this.
Well, it's always a pleasure to reconnect at different parts of the state. Most of our audience knows that I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida, so we're just on the other side of the peninsula from each other by a little bit.
That's right.
So, Jamie, I'd like you to start with a little introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, what your passion is. You mentioned to me earlier, you said business planning is my jam. So that just gives a perfect opportunity to jump right in. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your market area.
Sounds great. So Northeast Florida is primarily Jacksonville, but it does encompass, like you said, St. Augustine or even into Southeast Georgia as our market grows and expands. Little known, people know this little trivia fact, but the Jacksonville is the largest city in the country per square miles. So it's very spread out. There's a lot of challenges that come with that, but it's also very cool because you got a lot of different submarkets you're able to work in. I love data, as you know, and I love helping to use data to develop companies and develop agents and helping them to grow their businesses. I've been in for this going into my 26th year and actively in real estate. I started as an agent out there just like everybody else, hustling and working to build a business and grow a business. Became a broker in 2006 and started running offices and developing offices. And I found that if I was able to help people develop goals, develop a plan, if you will, that would set them up for success. And in my first offices, it was kind of the first thing I started with was how to develop a business plan. And over the years, I have tweaked and developed different systems and tools to what I use today. And I've even grown that to where I can use that with companies or with offices. But it all goes back to those very simple tenets, is setting goals. you know, and then your goals driving your actions that in turn drive your plans and your systems and the tools that you want to use and even the investment that you make. And as real estate salespeople, I mean, we're all essentially entrepreneurs, you know, we're all independent contractors. And, you know, our business plan is how we take our business as the CEO, sometimes the COO, the CMO, the CFO. We have all those hats, right?
And we sure do.
Business plan becomes a blueprint for doing that. You mentioned passion. I am absolutely passionate about helping people develop themselves and their businesses. And I'll do a plug of a book that I recommend folks read and a book that I recommend that my agents read, Start With Why, because Simon Sinek really drills down to that. Why do we get up? You know, and he talks about it from the company standpoint, but I, being small companies, each one of us are individual companies. What gets you up in the morning, you know, and what gets me out of bed in the morning every day is like, who can I help develop, you know, the best version of themselves, you know, both personally and professionally, so that they can be successful as people and as business people and ultimately as real estate agents. So you can probably tell I'm already got the cold chills because I get jacked up.
Right. Yes, I know you do. I wanna just pull out a couple of nuggets here. You're referring to business plans, reinforcing the idea that we are all professionals. We're our own CEOs, and we have to treat it like a business in order to really be successful. But that getting back to the why is something that's unique to our industry, because why we do what we do is every bit as important as how we approach that that business model. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's something that that I hope everybody will really keep in the back of their mind as we're talking about you know, more nuts and bolts kind of things. So tell us what kinds of shifts you've seen in your market area. Certainly the last 6 months have been a time of change everywhere, but what does that look like in your market?
Yeah, so, and I'll kind of leave you in with a story, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we had a global pandemic that hit us and really shook everything, you know, where we had a market that would seem like it was fairly balanced. Florida, we were probably a little bit, I would say words not hot, but there's a lot more people moving into the state of Florida. So we were feeling the impacts of that. And then 2020 hit and everything just kind of stopped. And so what we didn't realize is when 2020 hit and everything stopped, it didn't really stop in real estate. We kept selling houses. We just had to figure out how to do it differently. So we came out of 2020. We went from what we probably was a balance to maybe a little lean seller's market. We were having some inventory issues to 2020. And all of a sudden the floodgates opened, you know, and everybody started looking to buy and sell real estate. People were moving to where they wanted to move. The way we work changed. And we didn't really realize it, but it really was this tsunami of effect that pushed us from a balanced market into a full-blown seller's market until we were in it. And then everything, and you probably saw in your market, in our market, it was, everything was multiple offers, but that didn't happen immediately. That happened kind of slowly, you know, listings were hitting, prices were going up. Next thing you know, there were two offers on a house. And by last spring, it was multiple offers on any kind of property. Investors were flooding the market and all those kind of things were happening. But we were teaching our agents back in 2020 how to be prepared for change by using data, by keeping track of the inventory that was coming on the market as fast as it was going off the market. And sometimes in some areas it was slower. We were able to kind of train our agents to be ready for it. So using different techniques and things like that, we started talking about those at the end of 2020. So when 2021 hit, we felt like we were prepared. And I think that's the key to it, is using data to anticipate what was coming in the marketplace. So even last spring, we were having conversations like, guys, we can see this starting to change. Because we'll never know where the peak is till we hit the peak. You know, and you look back and you go, oh, there was the peak, right?
Yep, there it was.
There it was. So, but in the spring, we could feel it because we could see some of the data numbers were starting to change for us, you know? And then, of course, you have things like rising inflation and all those things. So, but by anticipating it, our agents were able to build and adjust their marketing plans to work for that, right? And I think it's all about being able to, you got to have a plan. We talked about in the beginning, you got to set your goals. But being able to adjust how you implement that plan based on market conditions, which are driven by data. You know, they're not driven by thoughts and feelings and that kind of thing like we tend to get caught up in.
Right.
But they're driven by data. So when the fall came, we started to see median price drop for the first time this summer, because we were rising. And then all of a sudden, more properties were coming onto the market and they were leaving the market. And I was telling our agents, I said, when this happens, it happens in kind of like these 6-9 month, you know, you have to kind of look out and see that far. We went from a full-blown seller's market into a balanced market. Okay. So today we sit in Northeast Florida, at least, and even in Southeast Georgia, we sit in a balanced market, which means normal appreciation, which means some months we have more listings coming on than sell, but some months we may have more listings sell than come on. And kind of this back and forth as everybody now is catching their breath a little bit. Before, we were having sellers were selling houses because they really wanted to take advantage of the market. Now the ones that are selling the houses are the ones that have to.
Right.
They have life changes, moving, things like that.
And as we think about our approach, this is the time of year. So here we are in the fall of 2022 after, you know, what I call a pants on fire ride. Mm-hmm. And this is the time of year when most successful real estate professionals do their business planning and set their plan for the year ahead. So let's talk about that for just a second. What kinds of things do you think are important to consider in that bigger picture? And then we'll talk about how do you monitor that going along in case something changes, like what's happened in the last 2 years in kind of those 6 month cycles. So what's your approach?
So this is the time of year when I sit down with any agent who wants to, whether I'm coaching them with the consulting business or one of the firms I work with closely with. We do October, November, because I want an agent to have their plan in place by December, because December is when most people are starting to think about whether they're buying or selling, right? Because they know they're going through the holidays and things change, so having things in place. But I really keep it real simple with them. I start with a number. I say, how much money would you like to make next year? Okay? And they look at me and they're like, well, I want to do this many units, or I want to do this much. I'm saying, no, start with how much money you would like to make, you know, before Uncle Sam, but because that's between you and Uncle Sam, how much money you would like to make. And then we backwards plan. Now that's my military comes into me, but how we backwards plan from your number all the way down to how many leads you've got to generate to do that. Okay. And I like to do it annually, but then we'll review it quarterly.
Sure. But starting with that end question is a perfect segue for agents who want to focus on the upper tier, because if you're focusing on selling more expensive properties, then the proposition that it takes to get to that end number is very different than if you're looking at it only from a front end of units and transactions and that sort of thing. So I'd love to keep that kind of idea in mind as we're talking about how to leverage the resources, particularly those in our audience who are members of the Institute, have an incredible toolbox, but it still requires a plan, right? It still requires thought about how you're going to use those things. And so tell me what kinds of things you would suggest to be even bigger picture goals, like designations and continuing education, that sort of thing. What would you advise?
Well, adding to the number, I also ask every person that I work with in planning to come up with 5 personal goals and 5 professional goals, okay? And those goals, we write them down, okay? Now, I do teach them they need to be smart, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, and then taking those goals, but included in those goals, personal and professional, because in real estate, they're intertwined, you know, because of the type of business we're in and how we work as independent contractors, they're intertwined, making them smart, but that's where you should have your education. That's where you should have, hey, I would like to break into this market, you know, and having those goals set and then being smart with them, it drives their marketing plan. It drives their focus. You know, like you said, it's like, hey, if my number is X, I want to put that much in my pocket. If I want to increase my average sale price, and I get that question all the time in business planning, I say, okay, that's great. That's a goal. You want to increase it to what? Okay. Now let's talk about what submarkets you can work in. Let's talk about what areas, let's talk about types of networks you want to work in. And let's build out your marketing plan based on the number and based on your personal and professional goals, you know, because then I'll give you my advice, you know, my thoughts on how we do that. And we write it all down. And then they share it with somebody, which is a key to setting
goals. Accountability.
Accountability, right? And then be ready to review it. And be ready to adjust things that happen in the marketplace. But you're right. The average sell price, if your average sell price right now is $250 and you want to take it to $750, no problem. We can show you how that's going to look like. But then we're going to have to make that investment into those networks and markets to help you do that. So everything backward plans, and then we start writing down those specific action plans, things like a marketing plan, things like a social media plan, things like that. And how can you educate yourself to get smarter about doing it? You know, who do you want to surround yourself with, you know, and share your goals with so that they can help you with that? Whether it's a coach, whether it's some training, and the Institute's a great example of, you know, going through the different levels of the Institute. That's a great goal to put down as one of those professional goals, because that's going to force you, make you expand your thought, expand your training, your opportunities and things like that to go in and meet those benchmarks.
And so there's also a lot of opportunity to consider professional development in terms of education as part of those measurable goals. Like, for example, taking advantage of webinars and whether they're live or recorded. So certainly the Institute for its members has just an incredible library of tools like that. Do you find that the most successful agents are taking time to listen to podcasts, to participate in webinars and those types of things? What are you seeing?
100%. We should always be trying to grow and expand. Having done this for 26 years and knowing how long you've been in this business, we never stop learning, right? In fact, one of my goals every year is to read 3 books a quarter, one personal fun book, one professional business growing, building, you know, self-fulfillment book, and then one biography or autobiography, you know. So each person should have some sort of goals, whether it's, you know, I want to go watch a podcast every week, or I want to attend a conference, or, you know, I want to find a mentor, you know, that I can go and learn from, you know. Write that down and make it a goal. You know, because guess what happens when we put it up there? It's like Michael Phelps putting his times above his bed. You know, he's
right.
Asleep, he would see them. They become self-affirmation. So that's what I recommend. Think about what you like to do and then write it down and go do it. And the Institute does a great job providing some of those tools, but make it a goal to do it. That way you actually be accountable to getting it done.
Exactly. Making that plan and having the commitment is really important. But everyone's got access to resources that they can implement. As you mentioned, having a goal of reading 3 books a quarter. Everybody's got access to resources. It's just a matter of making the plan and then actually doing it. One of the things that we really missed when we were in the height of the pandemic was the opportunity to engage with people, to attend conferences and events in person, right? And I'm delighted, as are pretty much everybody that I know, to have that opportunity again. So if someone were thinking of in the year ahead, what kinds of conferences or events or training opportunities that someone might take. What are some of the things that are top of your list?
Well, for me, I mean, personally, because technology and the modern brokerage is a big deal for me. So I try to attend those type of conferences that where technology is involved. But when I talk to agents about this, and I counsel and coach agents about this and building it into their business plan, it's like, number one, where do you want to take your business? And say if your goal is to increase your average sale price, your goal is to break into a certain kind of network and work into a luxury space, then that's where you should point yourself. There's a number of the brands have been working really hard. You know, each one of us has a different brand we may be part of. Those are something to look at. But what I tell an agent is to say, hey, you really need to look at, now that the world has kind of come back to, you know, where we can get together again, but even the virtual conferences, some of them are very good too. You need to put that, write that down as a goal to attend maybe a couple of conferences a year. It could be a regional and then a national conference. Attend some virtual conferences, you know, based on what your plan and your goals are. and where you want to point yourself, you know. But here's the thing, you know, we in the real estate business are really not good about taking time for ourselves, right? We end up out there all hours of the day and night showing property, going on listing appointments, and we stop and say, you know what, we have to take care of ourselves and our families too. So build that into your plan. Build that into your schedule that whenever the downtime period of my business, and we know in real estate, I have to do is plan to go on vacation or get really busy, right?
That's right.
is build that into your plan, but maybe build it around a conference. There's nothing wrong with going to a conference, taking your family in the destination, and heck, you write the thing off as a business expense, but then build that into it because now everybody's invested and you're also finding some time for yourself, but make sure you find time for yourself. But I see a lot of agents starting to do that and do that at great effect. And then they come back, they're so excited, they're so energized, they've networked a new group of people. But really thinking about whether it's brand centric because you want to network or you're looking to get in a particular niche market, you know, that's the kind of things that you will look at. And what will happen is you'll fall in love with a couple of these different types of conference and events, and you'll just want to do them every year. You'll make friends, you can't wait to go see them again, and it just becomes part of your every year how you run your business.
Absolutely. And I think another takeaway of your idea of building in some time away that's kind of a combination of education, recharging mentally as well as professionally, but it's so easy for real estate agents to want to take a class or attend something that is just right in their own local market. And there's so much to be gained by going outside of your market area to develop referral pipelines and that sort of thing. So do you feel that as well, that they should really consider getting out of town?
100%. But I'll add an element to that. I said, you know, anybody can go take continuing education. You can jump online and take it. And inevitably, we get busy and we wait to the last minute to do it. I said, no, plan your continuing education and focus your continuing education along not only getting the CE you need for your license, but getting a designation, you know, because you can do two at the same time. You can get the CE you need and you can get a designation. And then that designation needs to fit into what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish. And don't get caught up in, oh, I just have to go at the last minute, because now you can get a designation, you can get some CE, and maybe you can go out and make a new friend, you know, or meet somebody you haven't met. We are such a global real estate economy now. Our consumers now are digital. So we don't necessarily have to be so just focused in one place. If we expand, like you said, how we look and see things, you're amazed on how the agents will connect. Next thing you know, you're getting referrals from other parts of the country. Next thing you know, you're referring business to other parts of the country. You're getting new ideas that you're putting into your business because, like you said, you got out of our bubble, which we can tend to do, and make it a point to get away from that and go visit and do some different things at different places.
And that circles us back to your comments earlier about the marketing plan, right? So you've got the overall business plan, and then you've got a marketing plan that's about how do you reach the audience that you need to reach in order to accomplish the business goals. And that includes marketing, not just to potential buyers and sellers, but marketing to other real estate professionals who can drive the kind of referral business that you're looking for. How do you tell people to incorporate that as part of their marketing plan?
So your marketing plan is built based on a budget, how much money do you are willing to spend, you know, as you go, and it's based on a target of how many leads that you want to generate. And those leads are going to be listing leads and buyer leads, okay? Now, where do they come from? Well, what everybody prefers that they come from is personal referral. You know, but that takes time, that takes effort, that takes reaching out and connecting. So building your database, and any of the great coaches out there will talk about building that database is filled with folks that you're trying to get to refer to you. Now, as you're new in the business, you're small. As you get bigger, you get more than that. If you get into the luxury space, and once you break into it, those referrals become gold, you know, because those folks, a luxury buyer and seller, you know, wants to really have trust in that relationship, just like they trust their financial advisor, just like they trust their accountant or their attorney. You want to find that place. So that referral network in your database, but that referral network can include agents in other markets. you know, who are going to refer the same like business that you're going to refer to them. And then encouraging and rewarding folks in your database for doing that. But the marketing plan's got to drive people into the database. You know, the marketing plan is what effort am I going to do? And I can do direct marketing. I'm trying to get, you know, that somebody to come back to me. But there's also the brand marketing. And the brand marketing is that networking, is that connecting with folks. It doesn't always have to be traditional, but sometimes it could be. It could be mailing to neighborhoods. It could be becoming part of a local charitable group that you can then begin to network with, volunteering. It could be traveling to these events and making it a goal. I'm going to go to a conference, and I'm going to come back with two agents that are going to be in my database that we're going to work together to refer business to us. I mean, that's the example of how you would do that. And then that marketing plan is, now here are the steps. You know, here are the things, the investments I'm going to make that happen.
And the tools that you're going to use to get there.
Right. And if you review it, so your business plan should be annual, in my estimation, and your marketing plan should be reviewed quarterly. You know, what did I do? What did I spend? How did it work?
So as we're talking about reviewing, knowing that the market is a little bit cyclical, that in general, we have some ebbs and flows, what kinds of things would you look for as you're reviewing, let's say quarterly, without jumping too fast in a different direction, without, you know, enough data, but also to adapt to things that you're seeing using the data, of course, not just of the results that have been achieved in the last quarter, but what's the data showing about what the market is trending to going forward? What should people be looking for?
So every business plan should have a weekly goal of how many leads I need to generate, buyer leads or listing appointments that I need to generate in order to meet ultimately my end goal, what I'm trying to accomplish. Okay. So when you look at that, when your leads come in, I train agents. This is really, really hard to do. So it's I recommend using some sort of just book, a note-taking device, things like that on your phone. And say, I had a lead came in. You know, I went out there and met them and showed the house and developed rapport and all that. But go back and say, where did that lead come from? Okay. So at the end of the quarter, you can go back through your leads and go, okay, where do my leads come from? You know, what sources generated me the best source of leads? And then now I begin to say, okay, do I want to adjust my money, my effort, my time into another marketing source because this one generated better results? Maybe it's a branding message and I'm trying to build my brand a little bit and that's okay. But look at all that and say, where are my leads coming from? What kind of brand message am I putting out there? If I want to be a social media influencer, okay, how's that work? You know, what kind of engagement have I gotten? You know, if I'm sending out, you know, some really nice marketing pieces to try to get more listings, okay, how did it work? You know, how are those doing? Now, I recommend not just abandoning something, you know, immediately, making the investment, review it after a quarter, okay, give it another 6 months, 3 to 6 months, and look at it again. But go always going back to where my business is coming from. You know, what am I getting the most, the bang for my buck, if you will, but also bang for your time, you know. And at the end of it, it's like you begin to develop, and great agents do this. We have a ton of them, you know, in the Institute. They know what really works for them, and they just do it well over and over and over again. Not being afraid to abandon something if it's not working and you've given it the time, you know, and not being afraid to try something new. And that's one of the hardest things for real estate agents is, hey, try something new. But if you have a plan, and you have a system by how you review the results of it, it's a lot easier to do that than just trying to stick things up against the wall and, you know, see what stays there.
Absolutely. But I really want to focus on the point that you made about thinking about tracking back where your leads came from, right? Like way back. So just this morning, I had a call from a new multimillion dollar buyer prospect from Atlanta, who's a neighbor of one of my clients who owns a second home here that was referred to me by another existing client, all of whom are part of an educational philanthropic organization that leads them to St. Petersburg to participate at the Eckerd College Academy for Senior Professionals. That is part of our community involvement, right? So yes, it's a referral from a client who was a referral from a client, but it ultimately tracks back to the community involvement in that particular organization. So that's really, really important, I think, to consider as you're looking to see what works and where is your investment of time and dollars the most effective.
That's right.
So I love that.
You know, it's one of the harder things to break into the high-end market because you have to get involved in those type of philanthropic and different type of programs, community involvement, in order to make the connections, build the trust, get introduced to new people. But if it's part of your plan, you figure out how to do it, you know, and then you make
and
the effort.
If it's something that you're passionate about, 100%. That feeds your soul, then mm-hmm. it's hitting all the cylinders of what you're talking about in your goal setting and your business planning as being every bit as much about your personal fulfillment and enrichment as it is about meeting your production goals. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great takeaway for us. So as we wrap up our time together on this episode today, I wonder if there are any other words of wisdom, parting thoughts that you would want to share to our audience, particularly Institute members who are really focused on increasing their price point and working more in the luxury real estate market.
Well, don't be afraid to do the work. But the work should all be pointing towards goals that you set for yourself. So sitting down and setting goals every year is so incredibly important in this business because it's going to point you to wherever you want to go. So everything flows from that, you know, what do I want to accomplish? You know, are they smart? You know, and then go do the work. Now, it takes, 60 days to develop a habit. So if you're trying to do something new, like agents tell me all the time, I'm trying to, you know, my time management. All right. Well, great. Sit down and set a goal to have a rhythm, a different system, a calendar, and then do the work every week. Okay. And work at developing new rhythm, you know, work at developing a new system of how you do business. And if you do it for 60 days, you look up and go, holy smokes. I'm totally doing things differently. You know, I'm focusing on generating new business. I'm focusing on getting involved in new community networks and things like that. I'm focused on these things because I made it part. So set your goals, develop a rhythm, do the work, and then stick with it. You know,
and utilize all the resources that you have available.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But what I'm hearing you say, Jamie, is just do it.
Just do it.
Perfect.
Just do it.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Estate of Mind, The Art of Selling Luxury Real Estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share it with a friend and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast.